An Ending by Grant McFarlane.
Yesterday, I decided I didn't care whether I lived or died. I would wobble on the tightrope, carefree of any wants or fears. Freed from my purgatory, I would spin within the whirlpool, glistening wet while drowning without tears. Dark despair would no longer linger. I would run headlong into disaster, far away from another's decrees. Today, I am sweating from my run to get inside this insufferably hot metal tube. My mouth, I keep restricted, and I have to remind myself to breathe, almost to remind my heart to beat. I close my eyes, waiting for it to happen, feeling less sure. I notice the door remains open, teasing me to change my mind. I consider that it's only been 18 months of feeling this way, and perhaps I should wait longer until I am more certain on this journey. I see other people enter. Some furtively glance at me as they position themselves away from sight. I empathize with their delusion. Others enter, unfettered by concern. I sympathize with their delusion. Each of us have our own reasons for making our decisions and coping mechanisms for carrying such through. Although it strikes me that to valiantly confront while aware of the risks is a more noble path than an ignorant denial of what lies ahead. Some years previously, my daughter and I played I Spy nearby. In a particularly challenging clue beginning with S, I had been forced to give up, having labelled literally everything I could see within. Reveling at my defeat, she told me that the answer was sadness and pointed to a woman sat across the aisle. In her wisdom, her interpretation of the game included perceptible emotions, clear for all to see. People around us had giggled, and this begat the game between the two of us being played amongst the many around us, together with our shared emotions. Apart, that is, from the woman with headphones on, she remained looking sad. Now, playing I Spy in public would seem abnormal. Laughing with strangers, almost anachronistic, and the game itself too easy, with the only answers being fear or, still, sadness. The doors close, and I can hear the machinery start to suck the air. The temperature is changing, and I can feel the heat drain from my body as the movement starts. My nihilistic bravery now morphed into an apprehensive acquiescence. It is happening. The train is leaving the station and the air conditioning has cooled my perspiration. My breathing now calmer behind my mask. My first time on a train to London since lockdown has begun.